This is a playwright and author whose name probably did not quite become a household word because it's so difficult and I suppose so much fun to say. I think even our announcer was having a little secret fun with the name Felicia Kosciuszko. Well, there are a number of other names familiar in 1951 in this production of NBC Short Story, a summer story. It's called Beautiful Summer in Newport, a title that brings some irony. And our broadcast comes from April 18th, 1951.
NBC presents Short Story. Tonight, Felicia Kosciuszko. Felicia Kosciuszko is a short story writer with printer's ink in her bloodstream. Her grandfather was Joseph Medill, great editor of the Chicago Tribune, whose support meant so much to Abraham Lincoln in the most critical days of the Civil War. Her mother was Eleanor Medill Patterson, distinguished owner of the Washington Times-Herald. Tonight's story concerns the exploiters and the exploited in the jungle land of high society. It appeared first in Story magazine under the ironic title Beautiful Summer in Newport. You'll hear it tonight in a first radio dramatization, immediately following this message from the United States Marine Corps. Of the many uniforms worn by members of our armed services, one of the most famous and colorful is the dress blues uniform of the United States Marines. Although the uniform has changed a good deal since 1798, many of its distinguishing characteristics are most interesting. For example, there's the red piping on the coat and trousers. Early in the Revolutionary War, a battalion of Marines from Philadelphia was dispatched to report to General Washington during the latter part of December 1776. Due to their familiarity with the guns on naval vessels, these Marines served as artillerymen at the Battle of Princeton, January 3, 1777. To commemorate their services as artillerymen on that occasion, the Marines adopted the traditional red of the artillerymen, which has been a part of the Marine uniform since 1798. Today, the Marine blues are perhaps the most distinctive American uniform, proudly worn by members of that proudest of American fighting organizations, the United States Marines. Here now, Beautiful Summer in Newport by Felicia Kosciuszko.
Summer 1915. The crowd at the railroad station is starched, corseted, laced up to the chin and damp with sweat. Two little girls with stiff tiered dresses stand holding hands with a small, kindly woman.
Where's Poppy? Nanny, I don't see Poppy anywhere.
For goodness sakes, Rue, your father's just gone to get the tickets.
Aunt Agnes says smart people reserve in advance.
Poppy's the smartest man in Chicago.
Oh, not that kind of smart, stupid, fashionable.
What'll it be like in Newport, Nanny? Can we go to the beach?
Certainly. That's the whole idea of going to Newport. To have fun at the beach.
Aunt Agnes says it's to get away from people in trade.
What's in trade?
Oh, you know, grocers and butchers and awful people like that.
There's Aunt Agnes and Poppy. Poppy! Poppy!
For goodness sakes, Rue, stop that shouting.
Have you got the tickets, Poppy? Have you? Have you?
Of course I have. The best tickets money can buy.
Anthony.
Now be good, both of you. Write to me.
Oh, we will, Poppy. I wish you could come.
Oh, so do I. Now take care of them for me, Nanny.
Oh, I will, Mr. Peterson.
Goodbye, Anthony.
Bye, Agnes. See that the youngsters have a good time.
You don't go to Newport for just a good time, Anthony. I've explained to you
I know, Aggie, but summers are for good times. Isn't that right, Rue? Now hurry up, you'll miss the train.
Nanny, none of the other governesses allow their children to run barefoot on the beach.
Have you seen those other children, ma'am? Starched dresses and high white stockings and sashes and hats and, oh, looking so hot and stiff.
I want Rue and Audrey dressed the way the other children are. In fact, Nanny, I'm not altogether satisfied that you can take proper care of the children. So I've made certain arrangements.
Ma'am, you don't mean that you're letting me go.
I'm afraid I do.
Oh, but I've taken care of Rue and Audrey since the missus died.
I'm very sorry, Nanny, but we have certain social position. The children must be taught proper behavior. I won't let anything keep me from, well, from doing my duty.
Oh, but I've always been good to them. I know they love me.
Perhaps. But they are old enough now for a proper governess, and that's just what they shall have.
Yes, ma'am.
I think you'd better not say goodbye to them. Might upset them. I'll call the fly to take you to the station. The new governess will arrive on the afternoon train.
Good afternoon, children. I am your new governess.
Where's Nanny?
Oh, she went away. I am Fräulein Lina. Say good afternoon now, like little ladies.
Good afternoon, Fräulein. What happened to Nanny? Why did she go away?
That is not for little girls to ask. Now, say good afternoon.
But you haven't told me.
Listen to me now, sweetheart. You will forget Nanny. You have your Fräulein now, you understand?
But
I'm going to teach you to behave like little ladies in society, and you will do what I tell you, or you will be very sorry. Now, have we that all clear?
Yes, Fräulein. Yes, Fräulein.
Now, but my little Miss Rue, you have not said to me good afternoon, Fräulein. Say it now.
I don't want to.
Hmm? Say it now. Good afternoon, Fräulein.
Good afternoon, Fräulein.
That's better, sweetheart. That's much better. Now we shall go down to the beach. So, are the letters finished to your father?
Mine is. I wrote Poppy a long letter just like you said, Fräulein. It's all finished.
And you, sweetheart?
I didn't write mine.
No? Then now you will write to your father. Now.
I don't want to.
Do you want I should give you castor oil? So better you write. Dear father, I am having a lovely time. Now write, the beach is beautiful. The children are very nice. Newport is a very nice place.
I can't write so fast.
So, is that all you're going to say?
Let go of me.
Look at me, darling. Aren't you going to say something nice about your Lina?
My neck hurts. Let me go.
My little Liebchen. I know two little girls who are going to get ice cream tonight if they're good. Now you write, Puppy, I have a very nice Fräulein. I like her better than Nanny.
I don't like you better than Nanny.
You'd better say so. I did.
Do you want ice cream or castor oil?
We have a very nice governess. I like her very much.
Good. Now go on. I like her better than Nanny and hope she comes back to Chicago with us.
I won't. Ow!
Listen, darling. I have been with you now a week. You know your Lina means what she says. You want castor oil?
No. You're hurting my neck.
So right. That's better. Yes. Yes, now. That is a nice letter. Address it.
There. I have to go pick some flowers for Aunt Agnes, Fräulein.
Hold still while I put on your hat. Still.
The ribbon's too tight. It hurts.
You want your lovely white hat to blow off and get dirty? You want all the other governesses to say your Fräulein is not good? Now, get one spot on that dress and you see, darling. Now go.
Snake, 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 that's what. Fat, red old snake.
Number, please.
I want to send a telegram.
One moment, please. Yes, please.
I want to send a telegram to Mr. Anthony Peterson, Hay Farms, Lake Forest, Illinois.
What message, please?
Poppy, come and get me. Please, please, please. Sign it, Rue.
Come along, Audrey. Time for the beach.
Hurry, hurry, please.
What is your number?
Rue, where are you, darling?
Newport 271.
Shall I charge it to that number?
Yes.
Rue, what are you doing there? Give me that.
Oh.
Hello? 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 Who was that?
Some people called up. They wanted to speak to somebody.
Was it the wrong number?
Yes, the wrong number.
Well, here's your coat. Everything you do looks sneaky. You're nothing but a sneak. Audrey?
I'm right here, Fräulein.
Come along. Oh, good morning, madam.
Why aren't the children at the beach? The other children are.
They are writing to their father. I have here the letters. They write slowly. They need more discipline.
Curtsy to your aunt?
Isn't that sweet? They can come in and curtsy tonight at the party.
Is Mrs. Van Dusen coming to the party, Aunt Agnes?
Of course.
She didn't come to the other parties you gave.
Come on, Audrey.
Stop. Curtsy again to your aunt.
Isn't that darling? Don't let them stay in the sun too long, Fräulein.
Yeah, madame.
And don't let them go into the water. It's too cold. Go out now, dears. I'm going up for my parasol.
Walk ahead of me now. March. I'll follow in a minute.
Come on, Rue. I wish we didn't have to wear all these clothes. I'm uncomfortable.
Ladies are always uncomfortable.
I don't want to curtsy at Aunt Agnes' party.
Mrs. Van Dusen won't come. She'll call up again and say she's sick. That'll be twice.
Is she sick?
No, stupid. She doesn't want to come. I heard the Phelps governess tell somebody that Aunt Agnes was here to crash society.
But she told Poppy she wanted to bring us here. For our own good.
Oh, you don't believe that. Well, you're only 10 years old. You don't know what a widow is.
Aunt Agnes is a widow.
No, I mean what a widow is. A widow is a woman trying to get married again. Aunt Agnes is here to get into society and marry a rich man.
But Poppy's rich.
Oh, he's only a meat packer, and he's only your brother-in-law.
I don't care what he is. I want to go home. I want to go home to Poppy.
You can't go home.
Nanny used to let us have fun. I bet Poppy wants us back.
You aren't a baby anymore. You need a governess. That's what Aunt Agnes said.
But if Fräulein is going
to... You say something? Come on now, through the gate.
Ow! Fräulein!
You were walking crooked.
But you hit me with your parasol.
Nice young ladies walk straight. So, straight march. Now listen, both of you. You're on the beach, so play nicely and don't get those shoes wet. You hear?
Oh, come on, Rue. There's Nona Van Dusen. Maybe she'll play with us today. Come on.
I don't want to. She hates us.
But you don't understand. You're too little. Look, if Nona Van Dusen plays with us, well, then maybe we'll be in society. I don't care if she hates me. I know what I want.
Well, you go ahead, then. I don't want to.
Fräulein will be awful mad.
I don't care. If I shut my eyes real tight, I won't see Audrey. I won't see any of them. Maybe Poppy will be here tomorrow. I hate this place. All the sand. Can't go in the water. That Nona and the Phelps girls. They're all mean, just plain mean. And Fräulein... Suppose Poppy doesn't take me home. Suppose I just have to stay here forever with Fräulein. Oh, no. No, please, Poppy, please come.
So?
Fräulein.
You think I don't watch you, huh?
You're pinching me.
You get up. You get up from that sand. Go and play with the children. What do you think you're here for? Go on.
Come on, Rue. Nona Van Dusen is playing with us.
We need somebody to dig this canal. Come along, you.
Where do you want me to start, Nona?
You go over there.
Over there?
Yes. You're a slave digging the canal. I'm the architect.
Oh.
You. Little girl.
Me?
You're a slave, too. Go and dig.
I don't want to.
Do as you're told. If you don't dig... You get your eye poked out with a hot stick.
Rue, you've got to dig if Nona says so.
If you ever want to come to my house to play, you've got to do what I say.
Can we come to your house, really, Nona?
Well, we don't ask everybody to our house. We don't want hoi polloi in our house.
You shut up or I'll kill you!
Is that so? If you don't dig, you'll get sand thrown in your eyes. Like this.
Oh!
Cry, baby. You little cry, baby.
I'll kill you.
Oh! Oh! Let go of my hair, you. I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Let go, you hear? You nasty little girl. Let go.
Miss Pippin, Miss Pippin.
So, how sweet, how dainty you play. Hit the little Van Dusen, will you? Oh, you're wicked, wicked.
My eyes hurt. You said that,
Vic.
You there. Send that girl to me.
Oh, Fräulein, that's Mrs. Van Dusen.
Send her over here at once.
There. Now you'll catch it. Mrs. Van Dusen saw you. Come along now. March. March.
You may leave us, nurse.
Madam, I assure you...
Go on. I'll see the little girl alone.
Yes, madam. Go on. That's what you're here for, to meet her. Go on.
Come here, little girl. Come here, dear. Take a big swallow of this. It's very dry and a good year.
Thank you.
See? You're better. It's the shock. I wish I could get a shock. Any shock. What's your name?
Rue Peterson.
Oh, a Peterson child, eh? Why did you pull Nona's hair?
She threw sand in my eyes.
Yes, I saw that. Why don't you come to my house and play tomorrow?
I'll have to ask my aunt.
Do, by all means.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, Rue Peterson. You ask your aunt. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if she said yes.
Goodbye. Come here, Rue. I didn't do anything.
So, now you're in society. You're in society, Mrs. Astor.
You're not going to pinch me, Fräulein.
Me? Of course not. Who ever heard of your Lena doing anything like that? A little society girl like you are now needs a good friend like Lena. Come along, sweetheart. We'll go and play. Come along, Mrs. Astor.
You're not sleeping, Rue, sweetheart. Oh. My little Liebchen is not sleeping at all.
Now, tell me what she said. Tell me what that old hag said to you.
She didn't say anything.
Oh, but yes, we all watched you. Mrs. Astor talking to Mrs. Van Dusen. Two great ladies.
Go away. I want to sleep.
You tell me to go away. You tell me. Spiteful child, that's all.
Go away. I don't want you here.
Now you're going to catch it now.
My arm! Ow, my arm!
Now I'll show you. Now.
Rue!
Fräulein!
Rue, what are you doing on the floor? Get back on your bed this minute. You'll soil your dress.
Mrs. Peterson, she is such a naughty girl. I can do nothing sometimes. This morning she had champagne.
What?
Mrs. Van Dusen gave her some, and she drank almost a whole glass.
Mrs. Van Dusen?
I'll bet she doesn't come to your party tonight anyway. She invited us, though.
She invited you? To what?
To her house. We're on the first rung of the ladder.
Audrey, don't talk like that. What do you mean?
Rue amuses her, so she asked us to her house.
She is a very old lady, and she does drink that champagne in the hot sun.
That's because she's bored. I bet she doesn't come tonight.
Will you and Fräulein please leave the room? I want to talk to Rue.
But, madam, she told...
Later, Fräulein.
I'll bet she doesn't come to your party.
Rue, let's be friends. Shall we?
Huh?
Rue, dear, you don't want to leave Newport, do you? You and Audrey want to make something of yourselves, don't you? You have no mother. It's up to me to see that you occupy your rightful position in society.
I don't want to be in society.
Now, don't you think you're a rather ungrateful little girl? I have this large, expensive house, and your father has to foot the bills.
Poppy,
and...
did you speak to Poppy? What did he say? Is he coming? Oh, I knew he would when he got my...
Well, dear, I'm glad you admit it. Of course, I know you sent a wire. No matter how bad a thing is, it's better to be truthful, isn't it?
Am I going home?
My dear child. My dear child. He telephoned me at great expense. He thought you were sick. He was worried.
He isn't coming?
Now, what would people say if your father appeared suddenly and whisked you off as though I starved you or beat you?
Fräulein beats me.
Look at me and say that again, dear.
Please, Aunt Agnes.
Look at me. I thought so. Say, Aunt Agnes, I'm a little liar.
Aunt Agnes, I'm a little liar.
Fräulein was with Lord and Lady Borstel's children when they were here last year. Do you think that Lord and Lady Borstel would hire a bad governess? Oh, I realize you don't like Fräulein. I know you don't want her to go back to Chicago with you. Rue, dear. I'll make a bargain with you.
A bargain?
Would you do something for me if I promised to send Fräulein away?
What?
Well, now, sit up. This is a secret. A big secret between you and me.
What is it?
Why don't you say that you are giving a party and ask her to come as though it were your idea?
Ask who to come?
Now, dear, don't be stupid. Mrs. Van Dusen.
But I'm not giving a party.
That's just it, dear. It's time you had a nice party, you and Audrey. And if you could just get Mrs. Van Dusen to, well, drop in. She likes you, don't you see?
You mean, if I get Mrs. Van Dusen to come here, you'd send Fräulein away?
Yes, dear, I do.
Could I go home?
No, but I'd send Fräulein away.
Now?
Now, dear, be practical. I'll send her away if you get Mrs. Van Dusen.
What shall I say to her?
Oh, just be natural, dear. Now, is it a bargain, dear?
All right, Aunt Agnes. It's a bargain.
Now listen, sweethearts. That old hag Van Dusen wants no governess in her house. I come back for you at 6 sharp, and if I see so much as one little spot on either dress...
Yes, Lena, darling.
If you are good girls today, I'll take you next week to Newport News, to the intern submarine Prince Wilhelm. Your Lena knows a lovely officer on board. He has a decoration from the Kaiser himself.
England's going to win the war.
Do you want I should slap you for a change?
No, Lena, dear. Slap Rue. She's sulking.
She's snooty. She's Mrs. Astor. Come on now, Mrs. Van Dusen will be waiting.
I can't do it.
Do what? Come on, that Miss Miffin is watching from the window.
I don't know how to say it.
To say what? Come on. No? All right, so.
Oh, you pinched me.
So come.
Come in.
Who is it, Miffin?
The Peterson children.
Oh, all right. The governess may wait outside on the porch.
But, madam...
Outside? The children may take off their shoes and run in the grass.
Oh, but, madam, they are not allowed to go barefoot. They catch cold.
Let them. That's what you're for, to take care of them. You may go.
Yes, madam.
Miffin, go get Nona.
Yes, madam. Now.
Mrs. Van Dusen... I have to ask you...
What do you have to ask me? Oh, there's a bathroom in there.
No, no. If you don't come Wednesday, Aunt Agnes will keep Fräulein forever. If I can make you come to tea, she'll send her away.
What?
Please, I didn't mean anything wrong.
Come here. You want me to come to your house on Wednesday. Is that it?
I'm afraid...
Miffin, get Mrs. Peterson's telephone number. Wait here.
You fool. You little chump. You didn't believe Aunt Agnes, did you? You don't believe she'll send Fräulein away, do you?
But she promised. She promised.
Oh, stupid. Now you've just made Mrs. Van Dusen mad.
I've got the number. Get out, children. Outside and close the door. Hello? Give me Newport 271.
Oh, you chump.
Let go of me, Audrey. Audrey!
So here you are. What have you been doing, huh?
Oh, she's a little chump. She thought Aunt Agnes would send you away if she could get Mrs. Van Dusen to come to tea. Aunt Agnes told her that.
What do you mean? Explain this.
No. No, I can't.
You tell me, sweetheart. You tell your Lena now.
No. No, go away from me.
Come back.
Oh.
Try to run away. I'll catch you.
I've got to hide. I've got to hide. I can't let her find me in the bushes. Please, don't let her find me. Please, please.
Rue, darling, where are you, sweetheart?
Please, don't let her find me.
You wouldn't hide from your Lena. The are you, sweetheart? Oh, I see you. Oh. I see you. Run for the house, you fool. I'm going to catch you. No, you don't. I got you. Oh. I got you.
I'm... My leg.
Come down
You're
from the window.
Me.
I'm going to beat you
You're
to death.
Hurting.
I'm going to
Please,
beat you to
dead.
Death. I'm going to oh. beat you to death.
No, no. God, you got it. You nailed.
Shh. Somebody's coming. Keep quiet. Quiet, do you hear?
Oh, you're fighting again. You've spoiled everything anyway.
It's only you. Huh?
Mrs. Van Dusen called Aunt Agnes about Fraulein. They had an awful fight, and now she's calling Poppy.
Who is calling Mr. Peterson?
Mrs. Van Dusen. She sent me to get Rue to speak to him.
I'm pleading.
Rue has to come in now.
Darling, you're teasing Yolina.
She's really calling Poppy?
My little Liebchen is joking. Aren't you Audrey's sweetheart?
She wants Rue to talk to him and tell him everything. Rue spoiled everything. Rue, you're a selfish pig. I hate you. You spoiled our whole beautiful summer in Newport.
Liebchen, Rue, sweetheart, you will not say naughty things about Yolina, will you? You'll tell your papi how nice Yolina has been, darling. Liebchen.
She's really calling, Poppy?
Yes, and now he'll come and take us away and I won't get into society at all. You selfish pig.
I'm going to speak to Poppy.
Listen to me, Liebchen. Yolina loves you. You won't make Yolina go away. You won't tell your Poppy naughty things. Fräulein is going to be so good to you. You'll see, little sweetheart.
If you don't let go of me, Fräulein, I'll kick you.
But, sweetheart, Fräulein loves you. Yolina loves you.
I don't have to be afraid of you anymore. So there.
Darling, Yolina loves you, sweetheart. Yolina loves you.
Rue, come and speak to your father.
Let go, Fräulein, or I'll kick you.
Liebchen.
Goodbye, Fräulein. I'm going to speak to Poppy now.
Come along, child. Your father wants you.
I'm coming. I'm coming. Poppy. Poppy. Poppy, I'm coming.
You have heard Beautiful Summer in Newport by Felicia Gishiska. The adaptation was by Ernest Canoy of NBC. In tonight's cast, Rue was Anne Whitfield. Nanny was Isabel Jewell. Audrey was Dawn Bender. Aunt Agnes was Hope Sansbury. Poppy was Charles Seal. Fraulein was Naomi Stevens. First telephone operator was Martha Shaw. Nona was Marlene Ames. Mrs. Van Dusen was Noreen Gamill. Miss Miffin was Norma Varden. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The director of NBC Presents short story is Andrew C. Love. Be with us again next week at this same time as NBC presents Short Story. At that time, we will present two of the most delightful short stories of Sherwood Anderson, I'm a Fool and I Want to Know Why. That's a week from tonight. And in the meantime, bear in mind this message from the United States Marine Corps. Dress blues is the uniform most frequently associated with the United States Marines. Actually, however, Marines wear other uniforms, some of which are not quite so well known. For warm weather assignments, Marines wear khaki. During the wintertime, the Marine usually wears his greens, a smart and handsome uniform with a particularly distinctive color, often referred to as Marine green. And, of course, for more formal occasions, the Marine wears his dress blues. The Marines are famous as a smart-looking military outfit. Certainly, this reputation is based in some part on the careful fitting of uniforms. Another explanation is the respect each Marine has for his uniforms, and his regard for the traditions with which they are associated. Proud of his uniform, proud of his outfit. That's a United States Marine. program came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Giving you the lowdown on the sartorial side of being a Marine in the finale there. That was NBC's short story from April 18th, 1951, in beautiful summer, and no, it wasn't quite so beautiful in some ways, in Newport, a very fashionable Tony place, even today, summer or winter. Next, a radio tour de force from Radio City Playhouse and a piece called Long Distance. Right after this, you're listening to old-time radio drama on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, Jan Miner, maybe best known as the girlfriend in Boston Blackie, really, as that would be Mary, didn't have the most demanding of parts. But tonight she does have a tour de force on her hands in a piece no doubt inspired by that great radio drama Sorry Wrong Number of Lucille Fletcher. Tonight it's a piece called Long Distance, starring, well, a woman and her telephone, you might say. It's Radio City Playhouse from July 3rd, 1948.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 1. Radio City Playhouse is a theater of the air that has been built to an extraordinarily simple design. In radio drama, there is no substitute for a fine story expertly told. So, if a script meets the highest standards of excellence, it may come from any writer, anywhere. So long as the performance is truly inspired, it may be given by any artist without regard to name or fame. We hope you'll listen each week to our new series, and if you feel like writing to us about our plays, we will deeply appreciate your comments. Now, here is Long Distance, Attraction 1 of Radio City Playhouse. Written and directed by a brilliant young newcomer to American radio, Harry W. Junkin, and starring Jan Miner as Mrs. Leon Jacks, who is seated at a telephone table in her home.
But, Warden, you don't understand. After all, you're the warden of the prison.
Mrs. Jacks, I can't just act on your say-so. You've left it too late. I'd like to help you.
Warden, try to understand. I've called the governor, but I can't get him. This letter proves that my husband didn't commit the murder. Why can't I make you see? My husband would never have been found guilty if we could have produced this letter at the trial.
Mrs. Jacks, we always have these telephone calls before an execution. I know how you feel. I'm terribly sorry for you, but there's nothing I can do. You didn't produce this letter at the trial.
I know we didn't produce it. That's what I'm telling you. I found it tonight, quite by accident, between the lining and the covering of my overnight bag. If we could have produced it at the trial, my husband would never have been... Well, the case would have been dismissed. Can't you understand that you're... that he's innocent? You're executing an innocent man.
But, Mrs. Jacks, I tell you, it's not in my power. I know how you feel. Believe me, I do, but... Telephone me half an hour before an execution and start talking about some letter you found. I just can't do it, Mrs. Jacks. It's something that's out of my hands. I don't have the proper authority.
Oh, you're so stupid. I tell you, this letter changes everything. At least you can delay the execution for 24 hours until you've investigated. You can't kill him, I tell you. It's monstrous, wicked.
Mrs. Jacks, believe me, I can't do anything for
you. Well, then
who
can? There must be somebody that...
The governor's the only man in New York State who can stay and execute.
But I tell you, I called him. He's out of town. The lieutenant governor's out of town. Everyone's out of town. And it's only half an hour until until...
Mrs. Jax, believe me, I'd like to help you,
but you can't do it, I tell you. You can't. He's innocent. This letter proves he's innocent.
Mrs. Jax, tell me, who was the appeal judge?
McLean. Judge McLean.
Uh-huh. Well, under the circumstances, well, I mean, naturally, we want to be just. If you can get Judge McLean to phone me here at the prison, I'll delay the execution 24 hours.
You will?
Judge McLean is the only man who can help you. I'm sorry.
All right, thanks. I'll call him. M.C. McLean. McLean, here it is. Judge John C., Eldorado 50599. Eldorado 50599. E.L. 50599. McLean there, please.
I'm sorry, he's not. He's out of town.
Out of town?
This is Mrs. McLean speaking. May I take a message?
Where is he?
Well, he went to San Francisco the day before yesterday. Who is speaking,
please? San Francisco? You mean he's on a train somewhere?
No, he flew out. Who is this speaking?
Mrs. McLean, it's Mrs. Leon Jax speaking. Mrs. Leon Jax.
Oh.
Do you know who I am?
Oh, yes, yes, I know.
Mrs. McLean, you've got to help me. I don't know if you remember at the trial, there was a lot of talk about a letter which never turned up. We couldn't produce the letter that would prove my husband was in Canada on Armistice Day and couldn't have committed the murder. I've never given up looking for it, and tonight I found it quite by accident. It had slipped down between the lining and the covering of my overnight bag. I knocked the bag down off a shelf and it sprung open and the letter fell out. And are you listening?
Yes, yes, I'm listening.
Well, I found the prison. For a moment, I was so stunned. Anyway, I phoned the prison, and they told me that Judge McLean was the only man who could stop them from killing Leon. If I could just talk to Judge McLean, I mean, he'd recognize at once the importance of my finding this letter. The man at the prison doesn't understand the whole prosecution rested on the fact that we couldn't produce the letter at the trial.
Mr. Jax, when is the execution?
In a little over 20 minutes. I've never given up. That's why I'm not at the prison with Leon. I've never stopped working, trying to prove his innocence. I just got back from Canada tonight and was going out to be with him with me. And then I found it. Mrs. McLean, I've got to talk to your husband.
Mrs. Jax, phone him in San Francisco. He's at the Golden State Hotel.
Golden State Hotel.
He always stays there. I'm sure you can reach him.
Oh, all right. I'll try. Thanks.
And please let me know if there's anything else
yes.
I can do.
Yes, thank you.
I know it'll be all right. Yes. I just know it
thank
will
you.
Be.
Thank you. Goodbye. Long distance.
Long distance.
Long distance. I want to call San Francisco, the Golden State Hotel, Judge J.C. McLean.
Judge J.C. McLean.
That's right.
Is that M.C. capital L-E-A-N?
That's right.
Golden State Hotel, San Francisco?
Yes, operator.
And what is your number, madam?
It's Regent 4, 9970.
Regent 4, 9970?
Yes, yes, operator.
And your name, madam?
Mrs. Leon Jax, J-A-C-K-S.
Thank you, madam. I will call you.
Operator, this is a very important call. How long will you be?
The circuits are busy, madam. I will call
but
you.
But how long will it take?
It's hard to say, madam. I'll call you as soon as I
operator,
can.
Operator, I have to know how long this call will take. It's very urgent. It's a matter of... It's very urgent.
The circuits are busy west of Chicago, madam. There are several calls ahead of yours. I'll put it through as quickly as possible.
Let me speak to the chief operator, please.
Yes, madam. Just a moment, please.
Chief operator, Miss Milton speaking.
Operator, I'm calling San Francisco on a very urgent matter, and I've got to get through as quickly as possible.
Whom do you wish to call in San Francisco?
Operator, you don't understand. I gave all that information to the other operator. She said the circuits were busy. I just wanted to tell you why it was so important that my call be put through at once.
Yes, madam.
My name is Jax. Mrs. Jax. My husband is Leon Jax.
And your phone number, madam?
Oh, what difference? It's Regent 4, 9970, but operator, the
Regent
important...
Regent 4, 9970?
Yes. Operator, my husband... I don't know whether you read the papers or not, but my husband is being executed tonight for murder. For a murder that he didn't commit. Do you understand that?
Yes, madam.
Well, this man in San Francisco is the only one who can stop the execution. I've uncovered... Quite by accident, I've uncovered new evidence. I've got to speak to Judge McLean quickly because the execution is less than 20 minutes. Less than that now. And he's the only man that can make them stop. Operator, it's a matter of a man's life. Do you understand that?
I will see that your call is put through as quickly as possible.
Ahead of the others?
I'll do the best I can, madam.
Well, may I hold the line?
I'll call you, madam.
Oh, all right. But hurry, operator. Hurry. Please, God, let him be near a telephone. Don't let him be out. Please, God. 15 minutes more. Oh, God, help me. Please, please, God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, God, don't let them kill Leon. He didn't do it. You know he didn't do it. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Leon never hurt anybody in his life. Please, God, let him save him. Oh, God, I love him so. Hello.
Your call to San Francisco, madam, for Judge J.C. McLean.
Yes, yes, have you got him?
There is no Mr. McLean. I mean, no Judge McLean registered at the Golden State Hotel.
But, operator, he must be registered. His wife said he always stayed there.
Just a moment, madam. I'll check them again. Hello, operator.
Yes, operator?
Would you check that name again, please? J.C. McLean. My party is sure that Judge McLean is registered.
They have no Judge McLean, operator. They have a Mr. McLean in 701 from Toledo, Ohio. That's the only McLean registered.
Operator.
Yes, madam.
That must be the right McLean. His wife told me just a minute ago that he was there. He always stays at the Golden State Hotel. Please, have them check it again. And hurry, operator.
Just a moment, madam. Hello, operator.
Oh, for heaven's sake, what are you doing, operator?
Hello, operator. This is New York on circuit 412. Is it clear?
Oh, please.
Hello?
Hello, New York.
Operator, would you connect me with the room clerk of the Golden State Hotel, please? This is an urgent call.
Right.
Hurry. Hurry. What on earth are they doing?
Just a moment, sir. Oh. Hello, room clerk.
Hello, sir. This is New York calling a Judge J.C. McLean. I believe you have a Mr. McLean registered from Toledo.
What is the name again, operator?
McLean. M-C, capital L-E-A-N.
That's right, operator. Room 701.
This is an urgent call, sir. Are you sure that he is not Judge J.C. McLean of New York City?
No, operator. Mr. McLean is from Toledo, all right. He stays here frequently.
Operator.
Just a moment, sir. Yes, madam.
Operator, can you find out if they sent Judge McLean to another hotel? He should have arrived sometime yesterday.
Just a moment, madam. Hello, sir.
Yes, operator.
Sir, can you tell me if the hotel has any record of... I want to try and trace Judge McLean. If he applied for a room yesterday and you sent him to another hotel, would there be any record of that?
Well, what do you have a reservation, operator?
Just a moment, sir. Did Judge McLean have a reservation, madam?
Oh, I don't know whether he had a reservation or not. I thought if the hotel was full and they'd send him someplace else, they might know where, that's all.
Hello, sir.
Yes, operator?
My party doesn't know whether Judge McLean had a reservation or not.
No, he didn't, operator. I have the reservation list here. There's nothing for Judge McLean.
Is there any way we can locate Judge McLean that you know of, sir? The call is urgent.
Urgent? It's a matter of life and death. What are they doing? Hello? Hello? Operator? Oh, what's the matter? Why don't you answer me?
Sorry, madam. There seems to be no way of tracing your party.
Oh, operator, what can I do? I've just got to find him.
In case Judge McLean does register at the Golden State, madam, I can try in 20 minutes.
20 minutes? But I told you that... Oh, never mind. Let it go.
You wish the call canceled, madam?
Yes. Yes.
Good evening, Brent Theater.
Oh, no! Oh, dear, dear God, help me. McLean, El Dorado, 50599. Again, I can't locate your husband. He's not at the hotel, not registered even. Is there any place else, any other hotel where he might be?
Yes. Try my sister.
Sister?
It's Mrs. D.C. Hilda, Cypress Drive. That's C-Y-P-R-U-S Drive, Oakland.
D.C. Hilda, Cypress Drive. All right, thanks.
If he isn't there, she'll know where he is. I can't understand why he isn't at the hotel. He always...
Thanks, Mrs. McLean. I have to hurry. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Long distance.
Let me speak to the chief operator, please.
Thank you, madam. Just a moment, please.
Chief operator, Miss Milton speaking.
Operator, it's Mrs. Jacks again. I have a call to San Francisco again. I mean, I want to put it through again. I mean, it's Oakland.
Yes, madam.
It's to Mrs. D.C. Elder, Cypress Drive, Oakland.
D.C. Elder. Is that C-Y-P-R-E-S?
U.S., operator.
C-Y-P-R-U-S, Cypress Drive.
That's right. And hurry, operator. Please.
Yes, madam. Hold the line, please.
Chicago?
New York calling Oakland, operator.
Right. The circuits are busy, operator.
Will you ring the operator?
Just a moment, operator. I can take it now.
Oakland. Information, please, operator.
Right. Information.
Operator, the number of Mrs. D.C. Elder, Cypress Drive. New York calling.
Elder. Just a moment, operator.
Right.
I have a D.C. Elder, 1138 Cypress Drive, Montclair Highlands. The number is Lakehurst 39136.
Lakehurst 39136.
Right.
Thank you, operator.
Operator.
Lakehurst 39136. New York calling, operator.
Lakehurst 39136.
Mrs. D.C. Elder.
Mrs. D.C. Elder.
Right. You're still calling from Regent 9490.
No, no.
Pardon me. Regent 4-9970.
That's right, operator, and please, hurry. What are they doing? Hello? Operator, what are they... Operator, answer me!
We are ringing Lakers 39136 for you, madam.
Oh, God, please. There's less than 10 minutes left. Why don't they answer?
Hello, operator. Lakers 39136 is DA, operator.
Right, operator. Hello, madam. They do not answer. I'm sorry. Shall I try them again in 20 minutes?
No, I told you, you're stupid. Oh, what's the use? I won't give up. I'll get him if I have to...
Hello?
Mrs. McLean?
Yes.
I'm nearly out of my mind. Your sister's number doesn't answer. Mrs. McLean, is there nothing I can do?
Oh, Mrs. Jacks, I'm so sorry. They're probably all out to dinner or cocktails or something. They're 3 or 4 hours behind our time out there, aren't they?
Mrs. McLean, what can I do?
There must be somebody else you can phone here. Surely they wouldn't go ahead with the execution if there were any reasonable doubt of... Well, if there was any new evidence...
I've been all through that, Mrs. McLean. I've tried to get the governor, but... Oh, what's the use? The prison authority said your husband was the only one who... I'm nearly out of my mind. I can't...
Mrs. Jackson, my sister's very dear friends. They live right across the street. It's just possible they might all be over there. The name is Henderson. I think it's Robert. Yes, that's right. Robert Henderson.
All right, I'll try. Two...
Long distance.
The chief operator, please, and hurry.
Yes, madam.
Chief operator, Miss Milton speaking.
Operator, this is Mrs. Jacks again. Operator, see how quickly you can get me San Francisco again. I mean, Oakland. Robert Henderson. No, it's Mrs. Robert Henderson. Cypress Drive again, Oakland.
Mrs. Robert Cypress Drive, Oakland.
Why do you repeat everything? Yes, that's right. And hurry, operator, hurry.
Chicago?
New York calling Oakland operator.
Right. Hold the line, operator.
Can't you tell him to hurry, operator? There's less than 10 minutes left. I've told you how urgent this call is, operator. Can't they hurry it up or something?
We're putting your call through as quickly as possible, madam.
Oakland.
Information, please, operator.
Right. Information.
New York calling, operator. The number of Mrs. Robert Henderson, Cypress Drive.
Henderson. On Cypress Drive, operator?
Yes, operator.
I have a Robert L. Henderson on Crasswood Road, operator.
Oh, for goodness sakes, how can you be so stupid? It's on Cypress Drive. They're right across the street from my friend's sister. Now, you must have them listed.
Hello, operator.
Yes, operator.
Operator, Crasswood Road and Cypress Drive intersect. The houses might be like kitty corner from each other and yet be on different...
Yes, that's it. Ring them and hurry, operator.
What is the Crasswood Road number, operator?
That number is Lakehurst 3, 8197.
Right.
Operator.
Lakehurst 3, 8197. New York calling, operator.
Lakehurst 3, 8197.
Mrs. Robert Henderson.
Mrs. Robert Henderson.
Right. Are you still calling from Region 4, 9970?
Of course I'm still calling from Region 4, 9970. For goodness sake, stop asking me stupid questions. Don't you understand that I'm trying to save a man's life? Why don't they answer? God. Please, make them answer. There's only 8 minutes left before.
Hello?
Hello, oh. Sir. New York calling Mrs. Robert Henderson, please.
Well, she's not in at the moment. This is Mr. Henderson speaking. If you...
He'll do, operator. He'll do.
Very well, madam. Go ahead, please.
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Mr. Henderson?
Yes.
Mr. Henderson, I can't go into a long story. Do you know Judge McLean? I believe his wife's sister lives across the street from you. It's very urgent that I contact Judge McLean at once.
Yes, I know Judge McLean. I drove him to the railway station this morning.
What?
Yes, he caught the Southern Pacific West Coast Limited for Portland this morning.
Oh, Mr. Henderson, I'm in terrible trouble. I've got to locate Judge McLean.
Well, I don't see how you can. He took the train at 10 this morning.
Mr. Henderson, my husband is... He's being executed tonight for murder.
Oh.
A murder he didn't commit. Judge McLean was the judge. I found it. There was a letter we couldn't find all during the trial. I found it tonight quite by accident, and they told me at the prison that Judge McLean was the only man who could get them to put off the execution. If I don't get Judge McLean, they're going to kill me.
Well, that's awful.
Oh, I'm almost sick. I can't talk right now. Do you understand me? Do you?
Yes, I understand. Wait a minute, let me think.
Oh. What'll I do? Oh, God, help me. I love him so much. I'll die of him. Please.
What's your name?
Jax. Mrs. Leon Jax.
Listen, Mrs. Jax, you might get Judge McLean at Dunsmuir. That's a town along the line. He phoned some friend to meet him there at the station. The train stops for 15 minutes. It's 20 minutes past 6 here now. The train arrived at Dunsmuir at 6:15. It'll be there now.
Oh, it's no use. I'll never get it.
Try it. Dunsmuir is a small station. The train will be in there now. It's worth a chance.
Dunsmuir?
D-U-N-S-M-U-I-R. The West Coast Limited is the train. And it's Dunsmuir, California. Try it. There is a chance.
All right. Hang up quickly and thanks.
Have you finished, madam?
Is that the Oakland operator?
Yes, madam.
Operator, you may not be able to do this. A man's life just ends. But... Operator, can you get me the railroad station at Dunsmuir, California? The depot.
I can connect you with the Dunsmuir operator, madam. Just a moment, please.
Dunsmuir?
Oakland calling, operator. I have an urgent call here from New York City. Can you connect me with the railway station?
Yes, operator. The number is 395.
Can you connect me, operator?
Yes, operator. Just a minute.
Will you just talk to anyone there?
Yes, anyone, anyone. Oh, God. If you better help anyone, help me now. Leon's only got 3 minutes left. Die.
Depot.
New York calling. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Who's this?
Is there a train in there now, the West Coast Limited?
What? Who's this?
Listen, whoever you are, listen. This is a terribly urgent call. I've got to locate a man who's on the... Did the West Coast Limited just come in there to Portland?
The West Coast Limited is here now, madam. Just came in. Leaves again in 9 minutes.
Listen.
Next stop.
There's a Judge McLean. Have you got that McLean?
McLean? Judge McLean, yes.
He's on that train. I mean, he's in a station somewhere. He was meeting a friend of his who lives in Dunsmuir. Listen, if you can get Judge McLean to this phone, I'll give you $1,000.
What was that, lady? What's that about $1,000?
Well, listen to me. McLean, have you got that?
Yes, you said that.
Judge McLean.
Yes, Judge McLean.
Tell him he said that a letter... Tell him his wife's been killed. Get him!
Okay, lady. Okay, I'll try. Judge McLean. Urgent call for Judge McLean. Judge McLean.
Hurry. What are you doing? Leon. Leon, it's too late. They've started to... It's too late. They've killed you. They've done it. Oh, God, make them wait just a little longer. Please, God, make them wait. Don't let them do it. Just 5 minutes more, God. Make the clock slow, God, anything. The same. Judge McLean?
Yes, this is Judge McLean. Who is it? Where's my wife?
Judge McLean, there's nothing wrong with your wife. This is Mrs. Leon Jacks, Judge. Judge, I found the letter. You know the letter? The one we couldn't find at the trial. It proves Leon and Hilliard were in Montreal that night. You know?
Yes.
Listen, Judge. They're executing Leon tonight, right now. It may even be too late. You know what this letter means? The whole prosecution rested on the fact that we couldn't produce it. Well, I found it tonight, quite by accident, do you understand? It proves Leon is innocent. Do you understand?
Of course I understand. What time was the execution?
Now. They're doing it right now. It's very moment.
Get off the phone. I'll call the prison at once. Get off the phone.
Oh, it's too late. They've done it. And I killed him. Sorry, I should have found him before. Oh, Leon. Leon. I should have found them before. Oh, Leon. Leon. No. No, you don't need to tell me. I know. You killed him. You killed the only man I have... Stop it! Stop it! Hello. What? Leon. Leon? Darling.
Just heard Long Distance, Attraction 1, Radio City Playhouse, as written and directed by Harry W. Junkin. Jan Miner was heard in the exacting role of Mrs. Leon Jacks. Other players included Anna Karen, Eugene Francis, Gene Tatum, and Frank Thomas. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. Radio City Playhouse is supervised for the National Broadcasting Company by Richard P. McDonald. Next week, Ground Floor Window, a tender and appealing story about a young boy and the heartbreaking challenge that came to haunt his life. It was written by a brilliant young American author, Ernest Kenoy, from whom we expect more great things. We warmly invite you to listen to Ground Floor Window next week, Attraction 2, Radio City Playhouse. Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Jan Miner with a major part in Radio City Playhouse, a story called Long Distance from July 3, 1948. Leads us to the Black Museum, and your host, Orson Welles, is right around the corner. When old-time radio drama continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.